Good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to why we're here. And going to have a fast morning. I leave for Tucson, and everything was scheduled on time, and everything was working just really, really well. And I did what I will never do again for this kind of a trip, but I got a deal. You ever heard of that? I got a deal on the ticket, but it's one of those standby things. Well, I'm not going to make my two flights in the afternoon to be in Houston to go to Tucson. It's continental. And I don't know if y'all know it or not, but there's only two airlines that fly out of Dallas into Intercontinental Houston, and that's American and Continental. That's it. I mean, and I learned that this morning, just getting dressed and getting here. Mickey, getting dressed and getting here. And so it was either I take a 1241 flight today or I don't go today. So I was just amazed. No flights into Houston, Intercontinental, except American. I'm going to open me up one. And there's got to be somebody else that would do that. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, for this assembly and the opportunity to worship together, to open the Scriptures, to study, to sing, to pray, to give, to support missions, all the wonderful things that you have given to us, the opportunities on the Internet. And we pray, Father, that this morning, that all that we do will be in the power of your Spirit and therefore glorifying to you, a sweet savor to you, in the glory of your Son, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. I think we need to open up. I just realized Brian isn't here. So let's open up with a hymn. And let's just start doing this off the cuff. Let's start with number one. That's simple enough. Yeah, we're going to go through the whole book. Song number one, Holy, Holy, Holy. And we'll sing the first, second, and fourth. Let's stand and sing together. Please do continue to be in prayer in regard to finding a place. Remember, this is the sixth month, so we are really in a countdown point. And keep your eyes and your ears, just what the Lord may open up. I'm getting a few calls for about everywhere from 1.5 million to 2.5 million. And I said, that's nice. That's a perfect building. And and perfect investment. But so just keep your prayers and eyes and ears open and see what God is going to do in that respect. Are there any prayers that I'm to request that I'm not aware of? Yes, sir. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, good. That is answer to prayer. Does he have to go back? Yeah. 2 weeks? Okay. Yes. $500,000 or less. Yes. Oh. Believer? Okay. Let's be in prayer for the family. It's always tough and unexpectedly. Nope. Okay. And just be in prayer for the family at that time. And people do continue to be in prayer for one another. When you walk in the faith in the Spirit by faith, you've entered into the battle. And therefore, we need to be in prayer in regard to one another in that respect. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined as two ways. Number one, first of all, it is a born-again believer. The offering plate is for no one who has not accepted Christ as Savior. But I like to go even stronger than that. It is not even for every born-again believer. It is for those believers who are walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit who guides in regard to giving. There's no tenth or tithing in the church age. There's no law. We live in grace and leading of the Spirit. And so it amazes me how often various preachers talk about grace, grace, but when it comes to the offering, they go back to the law. Now you've got to do this. Well, wait a minute. How can you say you're going to live by the freedom of the Holy Spirit, but you got your laws? So this is something that is between you and the Lord in the leading of the Spirit. These things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, we smile at how much you use this humble assembly, the internet access and response on the internet, tapes and CDs, the speaking, the various ways that the message gets out, ways that we're not even aware of, Heavenly Father, and we praise you for it. And therefore, Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you'll continue to use this assembly. You will continue, Heavenly Father, to give us the opportunity to spread the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. We'll put ourselves in a position. Whatever you seek to do with us, Heavenly Father, we are here. We praise you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. This morning is a very special day in our church. Don't get this opportunity very often, and I want to take full advantage of it. One of our young people is graduated from high school and starting the next chapter of her life. And Amber Wise, we're very proud of you. And the first part of this morning is totally devoted to you. if you were to walk in my house and through various rooms, you would see in little frames a picture of this lovely little girl, and then you'd see the one of the next year, and you'd see them all over. I've just got them everywhere. What I was told you're supposed to do is you take a frame, and then when they give you the next year, you just put it on top of that one. It's what you're supposed to do. I didn't know that. So I buy these little frames, and they're all over. And I've had people come and visit, like, okay, who is she? You know, is she your daughter? Is she, you know, somebody we don't know about? What's going on? And but every year, Amber would give me her school picture as she would grow. And I care very much for her. And I tell them she's a very important young lady to me. So Amber, and to any young person who's graduated from high school this year, this morning's we're going to devote to you. As you and any, like I said, any teenager that listens, but we're directing this toward Amber. As you grew up, your dad and Larry brought you to this church. You've worshiped with us. You've listened to the way we see and understand the Bible. But now, Amber, it's up to you. You're now at the full age, not that they would have made you before, but graduating from high school, you've reached the point where you now have to go on your own journey and decide what you believe about God, what you believe about the Bible, what you believe about Jesus Christ and the cross, the Holy Spirit. You have to make up your own mind. Do you believe that God wants you to do things for Him to be saved? You've got to repent. You've got to walk an hour, join a church, be good. That you have to do for God to be filled with the Spirit after sin. You've got to confess. You've got to repent, be good, do this kind of thing. Or do you believe the radical view that we do, that all you have to do is trust the one He sent? Send His Son for our eternal salvation. Send His Spirit for experiential salvation. And where you are, Amber, is where a great number of young people leave. They walk away. This is a fact. They go to college. They don't have time for the Lord. They go to the military. They go to work. They just take off. And they leave behind what they've been taught. And they begin their own frantic search. I remember a young man. I grew up in a denominational church that had a wonderful youth group. Had a lot of fun, great memories, and that's what I regret here, that we don't give our young people. But I'll never forget, and since you don't know him, I won't give his last name, but Charles. Charles and I just grew up together and had a wonderful time. And we both went off to college and came back in the summer. And I will never forget, the preacher asked Charles to pray. And I mean, his opening statement, this guy I grew up with from little guy, adolescent, junior high school, 1 year of college, he comes back, and here's his opening prayer. And God, if there is a God, and he was serious. And the whole church, everybody raised their head from looking down, and I don't know where he is. We talked, and he just took off. Amber, you're going through the thing. You got to make up your own mind what you believe about things. You've been handed the baton, but it's up to you, and you got to decide where you stand, what you believe. It is our prayer at this church, Spring Valley Bible Church, that you will look for yourself and you will come to see God as we do, that He is a gracious and loving God, accessible by faith and faith alone. I want you everybody to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4, please. Now, Amber, usually presentations, as we all know, are made at the end of a ceremony. and that's the normal way to do it. But Amber, Spring Valley Bible Church would like to present you with this Bible, and I'd like to give it to you right now. And the reason I'd like to give it to you now rather than at the end is so that the first message that you follow through in this study, in this new Bible, will be this study a challenge to you. So there's a Bible for Spring Valley Bible Church, and we're all very proud of you, and going to be in prayer as to your journey. Now, inside of you, Amber, as inside of all of us, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4. Now, it's the same place as it was in your old Bible. This Bible hasn't changed or anything like that. It's the same book, no. Okay. Amber and all of you, in order to understand the Bible, because Amber, the book that you hold in your hand, in your lap there, is a very delicate and powerful book, because it can be so damaging and can be so rewarding. There are just so many different ways you can see it. And so before we examine Scripture, something I hope that you're listening this morning, because it's about you, and I hope you'll do this every time you open this book, and that is to spend a moment going into prayer and just testing yourself to see if you're in the Spirit. People, I do this every day when I study. Even if I study and then get up and go to the gym and come back, I just make sure I'm confident I'm in the Spirit, but I just spend a moment in prayer before I open this book, because it is so easy to go into the flesh. It is so easy to take man's theology and put here and read into the text rather than allow the Holy Spirit to bring the text out to us. So let's spend a few moments in prayer, testing ourselves to see if we are trusting His Spirit. Let's pray. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. In the course of the history and the way of man, we come on the scene for a short time. So many different ways that the psalmist records it. A breath, a flower that fades in the noon sun. All of these expressions showing the brevity of our life. Oh, we think it's a long time, but it's so brief. And then is the way of man to die. And others are born and come. And so flows history. And this morning, Heavenly Father, we could spend a few moments in our assembly with one of our young people. And we pray this morning that you will give her wisdom to make this book her life, to study it, to learn, to grow. For as she does, Heavenly Father, she'll see more and more your grace and your love in the most difficult of times that may be in front of her. And she'll see that you're always there, even though it may not look like you are. And that you love her. We pray this morning that your Spirit will lead us to see the things we're looking at. Not only Amber, not only young people graduating, but all of us. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Amber, you have two treasures inside of you. Two treasures. What you do with them is going to determine the quality of your life from here on. And this is not an exaggeration. This is not a hyperbole. This is fact. And we'd like you to be aware of two treasures that have been deposited in you. Then you have to decide what you're going to do for yourself. You have to decide what you're going to do with each of these treasures. You're going to have to decide upon which of these you're going to determine your life and the quality of it. Unfortunately, you live in a world occupied with things. possessions. And while we could say on one hand it's really nice, unfortunately, you've had the misfortune of growing up in North Dallas. That really is a misfortune. This isn't the real world. But this is where you are, and this is what you grew up in a society, in an area obsessed with possessions, as if these are the real treasures of life, cars, bank accounts, houses, clothes, beauty, all these things, as if this is the real goal and what life is about. But both of the real treasures of life, both of them, are not material things. The two treasures that are deposited in you are not the material things. They will guide you in dealing with the material things, but these treasures are not the material things. The first treasure that has been deposited in you is your education. And we here at Spring Valley Bible Church are most proud of your success in learning. We know that it took some rough time. There's no way you can make it. I don't care if you're a straight-A student. It's a rough time. You made it. Your parents made it. Your teachers made it. You've studied hard, worked hard, really worked, sometimes at night, late, if you're like me, and just worked hard. You learned the required knowledge for your level of achievement. An education is a precious treasure. We could spend time in the history of man, how valuable education is, and learning and understanding. But you have another treasure placed inside of you, even greater than the one you've worked so hard for, and that is the treasure of Jesus Christ in you. So you have two treasures in you. Education that you've worked hard, made deadlines, aggravated, a lot of things, angry at the teacher, happy with teachers, surprised you did so well on a test, shocked you did so poorly on a test. All these kinds. Well, I understand some people are surprised. And I was many times. The second treasure, you didn't work for it at all. You did not work for it at all. It was given to you. All right, 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, what is the treasure placed in you? Amber, the treasure placed in you is Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 6, so we'll find out what this means. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and now we're looking at verse 6. In verse 6 it says, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who shone in our hearts to give," now here it is, "the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This is the treasure that is deposited in you. This is the treasure. The light of the knowledge of God by the presence of Christ in you. This is the second treasure. Members of this church, as I said, are proud of your academic accomplishments. We are proud of the treasure of education deposited in you, Amber. But I want you to understand something, and I dare speak for each individual, but as an assembly of believers, we are far more proud about this second deposit that is in you. We are far more proud of the treasure of Christ who is in you. It is our hope, it is our prayers, that you will use your education as you grow, use the knowledge, the skills of education. But it is more so our hope and our prayer that you will even more so value the treasure of Christ in you and invest your whole life in the proper use of this treasure. This will determine the quality and the future of your life. Your evaluation and use of the treasure of Christ in you. There is a thinking that goes with both of these treasures. One, Amber, one of the most foolish things you can do, and I mean this, one of the most foolish things you can do is just set aside 12 years of education. Just blow it off and forget it. Not explore it. Not advance it. Read history on your own, no test, no reason, just enjoyment, learning, poetry, literature, science. Don't let that education that you spent so long go by the wayside, which is the way of many. Teachers have worked hard to place it in you. It's been a joint effort between the teachers and you and your parents. Just a lot of hard work getting it all in. And unfortunately, if you take advantage of the education they receive in this great country of America, our education, we can all complain, and we do. They don't do this, they don't do that, do this, they're very nice to school, But people, when you just think of the principle where the masses in this country are educated, it's just a remarkable, wonderful thing. All you have to do is visit some of the third world countries, and I'll guarantee you'll appreciate your education in this country. But there's a thinking that goes with the treasure of Christ in you also. And the first challenge, Amber, is this, and to all of us. First of all, you have to consider it a treasure. If you or anyone does not consider their education a treasure, they'll blow it off. They will not read. They will not stay current on things. They will not enjoy the use of the brain that God has given and the education America has given. And many don't. They just blow it off. But I got news for you. A multitude of Christians do not value the treasure of Christ in you. They just don't consider that a great treasure. I can't spend it. It doesn't buy me anything. I can't go to the store with it. I can't buy a house, a car. I can't look beautiful with it. It's a treasure they can't see. And so few Christians value that treasure of Christ in you. Christ formed in you. So the first thing, Amber, is to, first of all, please consider the treasure. Please consider Christ in you as a valuable treasure. Now, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Okay, that's your body. And you have a beautiful body. Inside your body is a treasure far more beautiful and far more precious. But because of that treasure that's inside, you learn to value the body. If I have something valuable, you treasure what's in it. You take care of the container. You value how you handle the container of this treasure. You begin to realize, I don't want drugs in me. I don't want promiscuity of sex in me. I don't want these things in my body. I'm not going to go home and pour Clorox down my body. This has a treasure in it. This has something valuable in it. I want to take care of the container. Now, here's a principle for you, Amber, and for all of us. If you increase the value of the vessel, you decrease the value of the treasure in it. You get so concentrated on your body, on the container, you're going to decrease the value of the treasure in it. Earthen vessels. Human depository for both treasures, education and Christ formed in you. For education and then the glory of Christ. Let's look at the container a moment. I want you to be thinking about that. Amber, again, I say it in humor but in truth. You've had the misfortune of growing up in North Dallas. And North Dallas is just obsessed with the human body. We've got to weigh a certain amount. You've got to look a certain way. You've got to do this and do that and how you dress and all these kinds of things. And become so obsessed with the container, lose sight of the treasure inside of the container. But I want to tell you about this body. It's weak. It's fragile. And it's so susceptible to so many horrible things. When I was working on this, Amber, and I don't know if this is going to be one you'll be able to appreciate, but it is amazing. They classify wine in the world. They say they classify five first growths. There are only five. This was done in 1885, I think it was, somewhere in that time frame. And these five first growths cost a great amount of money. And you could pay up to $200 just for the regular bottle. And they put them in a bottle, and they put a little label on it. Just an old glass, just a glass bottle. Slap a label. Now, just so you know, sometimes you can go into a wine place, and boy, you look, that's a great label. Probably the wine's not all that good. Probably. I mean, they've got this beautiful, exotic label and all this kind of stuff. Buy me the bottle. No, I want to know what's inside. That's what I'm paying for. Otherwise, it's just glass. And when I'm through, chunking it. I want what's inside of it. That's what's valuable. That's what's important. So our human body is fragile. We are, what Paul says is vessel is a clay pot. He uses the term which the ideal of human weakness, how frail our bodies are. Something very valuable, very precious, has been placed in the most tender, weak container. And that's our bodies. Great literature is written down on fragile paper. It can burn or tear or wear away. Gold itself, people, think about it. Gold itself is carried in containers not nearly so valuable as the gold. Not nearly so valuable. Now, Jesus Christ is light. So we have the value of light. And this is placed in a cheap clay container. That's our body. And unfortunately, Amber, and all high school graduates, and all of us, so many people are far more concerned with the vessel than with the two treasures in it, with the treasure we're dealing with here. They are more impressed with their own vessel, what they do, even what they do for God. But we are clay vessels, and we contain perfume that gives a sweet fragrance. We are a simple clay vessel containing oil to give light to the world. We're a clay vessel upon which is written the letter of the love of Christ, the love of God. Paul in this passage is talking about the light of the world, the treasure of God, the secret of the ages, now revealed. He's inside of you. Now, Paul moves to the issue. One, the treasure of glory of Christ. Two, the container of the treasure, the clay pot, that's you. Now the sharing of the treasure. You're not here to keep this treasure for yourself. There's a parable where three men are given some talents, money. And one of the men takes his talent, and he goes over here, and boy, I'm not going to lose this. I am not going to lose it. So he goes over here and buries it. He doesn't invest it to try to make a little bit of interest. People, he doesn't even go out and spend it and enjoy it. He didn't even do that. I put it over here, and I'm going to keep it for myself. So I'll always have that. This treasure placed inside of you is not only for you, but it is for you to share with the world. Share this treasure. Now, how do you share the treasure of Christ in you? It's very simple, Amber. Inside the front of your Bible, I've written two verses. John 13, 34 and 35. I hope they become the motto of your life. They have become mine since the late 80s, early 90s. And that is to love one another as Christ has loved you. That's how you share this treasure. You love as Christ has loved you. And the only way you can do that is in the power of His Spirit. Look at the end of verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Why did God choose the weak vessels to deposit this treasure? People, had He chosen a strong container, the world would have focused on the container. And that's what a lot of people want Him to. I want you to look at me. No, I don't want you to look at me. I am ugly. I want you to look at the reflected glory of Christ. I want you to see His love. My love, my human love, and your human love, but my human is ugly. It's selfish. It's for my advantage. Any way you want to color it. I don't want you to see that. I want you to see the love of Christ. That is forgiving, restoring, edifying. It's all these wonderful things, people. And that's how you share this with other people. So the world would never see the power, see this treasure, if He made the vessel something wonderful. So the power may be of God. Now what is the power, Amber, in verse 7? The power of God is the Holy Spirit. The power of God is God the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the treasure. The Holy Spirit is the power to distribute the treasure. To love as He loved coming out from you. This is what He gave us. All its value is because of what is inside of you. All the value of your earthly vessel, your body, is because of what's inside of you. And as you grow and as you think about marriage, maybe meet some guy, I hope, Amber, I hope, and just lay this before you to consider, if a guy is interested in the vessel and not what's inside of it, consider moving on down the line. Because when the vessel does change, so will he. If a guy's there just because of your vessel, and do the same thing in regard to males graduate, if a woman's just interested in the vessel, people, that's a red flag. You want to be warned by that. No, he doesn't see the treasures that are inside. He's just that short-sighted. Okay. Two treasures placed inside of you. Let me give you 1, 2, 3, 4 principles here. The treasure of education, deposited in you by hard work. The treasure of Christ, deposited in you by the grace of God, who loves you. The treasure of education, how to make a living in the world. The treasure of Christ, how to live. The second treasure will guide you in the use of the first. Don't get them mixed up, people. Don't get them mixed up. Don't try to make one treasure do what the other one's designed to do. Don't try to find an education. Life. It's not there. It's the treasure of Christ in you that will guide you in the use of the first treasure. Third, the treasure of education related to the world, to the flesh, it's temporary. I know you don't want to think about it. Who does? But when you die, and you will outside of the rapture, you will die, this first treasure of education, kapook. That's it. That's it. I'm going to give you a genius. I'm going to give you, I think Albert Einstein's a believer, but if you had his mind and contributed, medicine, science, whatever, you die, kapook, that's it, it's over. Treasure of Christ, it's related to the eternal. It's related to the spiritual, invisible, and eternal. It goes with you from this life to the next life. And the last one, the treasure of education, we can see it, contribute to the world. The treasure of Christ is invisible, it's unseen, but it's more real than the first. And you have to believe. This is the decisions you have to make. Now, Amber, you function in both simultaneously. You function in the treasure of education, knowledge, and you function in the treasure of Christ in you. The treasure of Christ in you, in the power of the Spirit, will guide you in the use of the treasure of education. Distinguish between the two. And don't try to make one do what the other's designed to do. They each have their place and purpose, but it is the treasure of Christ in you that is going to guide you in life. I encourage you to build on it. I encourage you to utilize that treasure of education. But I encourage you to utilize the treasure of Christ by continue to walk in the Spirit. Continue to grow in the knowledge of Christ, which you will if you walk in the Spirit. Love is Christ's love, which you will if you walk in the Spirit. Share the treasure with the world, which you will if you walk in the Spirit. So, Amber, this morning, we're very proud of you and congratulate you on your accomplishment. And we'll just keep interested, not a watchful eye like Big Brother, but we'll be watching and just see how things go, and we'll be in prayer. And just remember, you have a family that's in prayer and cares about you. No matter what happens, good or bad, we want to be a part of your life. Okay, let's move to the communion. This morning is communion, and so let's prepare ourselves for the communion service. At first, when Larry and Brian and I conspired to do this for Amber, and we had thought about last Sunday, but that didn't work. And so this Sunday I went, well, boy, there's a lot going on communion, and they're going to have to do. And then the more I thought about it, how perfect. I'm glad it worked out this way. What a wonderful celebration for the celebration of your graduation than the celebration of communion with the Lord and then with one another. Because that's what the communion is. It is a communion, jointly together, joining together in this. So it turned out to be, and after I thought about it, a very wonderful day to combine both of these together. And so this works well. I think most of you understand the communion. There are two elements in the communion cup, in the communion service. There's the bread. And the bread represents, let's take a look here. First of all, we pass out the bread. And the bread represents salvation won, or the cross, where Jesus Christ took on the form of man, the body, that vessel we were talking about, the body of man, and sacrificed it for man on the cross. Then the cup, and then after dying on the cross, buried, and rose again, he descended and departed from earth. But he didn't leave us as orphans. He didn't leave us without it, not with no way of knowing what to do. He gives us the cup. And the cup is a picture of salvation to our living the Christ-centered life, living the Christian life. This is the giving of the Holy Spirit and His work. Cup of the new covenant, which is the giving of the Holy Spirit so that we can know the will of God, be guided if we will follow Him by faith. So these are the two elements. And we practice it here. There's no set rules. There are no right and wrong. Some churches do it every time they meet. Some churches do it once a week. Some churches do it just different schedules. There's no law. It's our tradition to do it once a month. It gives us just the first Sunday of each month, generally, is when we do it. And it just gives us time to reflect on our eternal salvation and how to live each day. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the communion. Father, we thank You for the demonstration of Your love. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, for the communion that gives us time to pause and just reflect on so great a salvation. I pray You, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. It is our custom that everyone hold the bread till everyone has been served, and then we will partake together. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." It is our custom that everyone hold the cup until all have been served, that we might take communion together. Jim, you want to go help him? Rebecca, you want to go help him bring in? We please stand. Cup that you hold in your hand represents the love of Christ after dying and then rising from the grave, ascending into heaven. He sent His Spirit to teach us the Scriptures, to lead us, to guide us, to comfort, to encourage, all the wonderful ministries of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, in verse 25, he writes, in the same way, he took the cup also after supper. The Passover is over. This is for the church. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Now, if you will, turn in your hymnals to hymn number 111. Hope that after we finish here that you'll stay and eat with us and enjoy some fellowship. 111. All four. All four verses, 111.